So it all came down to the final showdown in Cardiff as two footballing heavyweights went head-to-head for Europe's ultimate prize. And the difference on the night was yet again this man.
Ronaldo's there! 3-1 to Real Madrid! He's writing yet more history for Real Madrid!
It finished 4-1 to Real Madrid as another record-breaking performance from Cristiano Ronaldo helped seal an unprecedented 12th European crown for the Spaniards.
Ramos emerges with the trophy. He waits. He lifts it high. For the first time in UEFA Champions League history, the trophy retained. And retained by Real Madrid. 12 times winners now.
We'll bring you all the key reaction from a truly historic night in Cardiff as Real Madrid became the first team to successfully defend their title in the UEFA Champions League era. On the show, we'll hear from Toni Kroos, Gareth Bale and Teddy Sheringham. So stay with us right here on the UEFA Champions League podcast. I'm Rob Daly. 32 teams, 125 matches and 380 goals. It has been another wonderful season in the UEFA Champions League. And what a way to round it off. European football expert Andy Brassel is with me. Andy, are Real Madrid deserving European champions?
Absolutely. By giving the performance in the second half, certainly in Cardiff, which defined the final, which would define any final, which is incredibly hard for anyone to live with. And Juventus, who contributed so much to this year's UEFA Champions League and were probably the best team in the first half, had no answer. And understandably, I'm not sure any team would have.
The players down on the pitch at the moment still celebrating their success, their third in four seasons. It finished at the National Stadium of Wales in Cardiff. Juventus 1, Real Madrid 4. Let's hear the full story of the final and what a game it was. Matchday Live's Richard Connolly describes the action.
Carvajal steaming up on the overlap. The pull back to Ronaldo! Ronaldo scores for Real Madrid! Their first chance of the final. And it's Ronaldo once again on the biggest stage of all. Higuain, here's Mandzukic. Oh, he goes for goal! Sensational equaliser! Mandzukic with the overhead kick beats Navas to level for Juventus. That is a world-class finish. Pro shot, it was blocked. Comes back out. Casemiro thumped it in! And Real Madrid have the lead again! It may have taken a slight deflection. Buffon dived full length to his right, but could not keep it out. And Casemiro is the man for Madrid. Now Modric is running onto a ball down the right and crossing, and Ronaldo's there! 3-1 to Real Madrid, and the 12th title is right within their grasp. Ronaldo with his second goal of the final. He's writing yet more history for Real Madrid. Marcelo with a lovely turn on the byline. Maybe he can pull one back. It's four! And Real Madrid have clinched the 12th title. And Marco Asensio was there to side-foot home. A 4-1 victory against the best defence in the competition. Juventus broken-hearted. Real Madrid triumphant again.
Richard Connolly, the commentator for the game, and he joins us now on the show. Richard, what did you make of Real Madrid's second half performance?
Well, it was absolutely stunning. And I think in the context of the game as we'd seen it to that point, and indeed of Juventus' season, it was all the more stunning for the fact that it was unexpected. Because Juventus had been the better side up until Real Madrid took the lead. Mandzukic's equaliser was a phenomenal goal, not just in terms of the finish, but in the four touches before the finish. I suppose the diagonal ball as well from Pjanic, which Alexandro volleyed back into the penalty area. A touch on the volley from Higuain, a touch on the chest from Mandzukic, and then the overhead kick. I mean, just stunning. Imagine scoring a goal like that and ending heavily beaten in the UEFA Champions League final. I mean, in the end, there was no quibbling whatsoever with the second half performance, and the team that has scored in every single one of their 60 games this season beat the team that coming into this had kept clean sheets in half of their matches during the course of the whole campaign. And in the end, I suppose what we're saying about Real Madrid is that when they play at their absolute peak, they don't necessarily often sustain it for a full 90 minutes, but they can destroy any team at all when they have a purple patch. That's what it was tonight for the men in purple. It lasted 45 minutes and it clinched them a 12th European Cup.
They know how to stay in the game when they're not at their best as well. I think that's very important. I think you look at a couple of very important blocks that will fade into nothingness after the brilliance of the second half that Rafael Varane made in the first half. I thought he was arguably their best player in that first 45 minutes. And that gave them the building blocks to work with. We didn't see much of Isco in the first half, but he really came to the fore after the break. And I think if you... we're trying to find an adjective for this Real Madrid side. Maybe efficient is the one. I don't know, but they seem to, as you say, be able to make the most of their windows of opportunity so, so well. And, you know, we talked about the quarterfinal first leg against Bayern München where they were 1-0 down. Then they had the penalty given against them, which Arturo Vidal went on and missed. And they used that as a catalyst. Cristiano Ronaldo equalised shortly after half-time. And that was their in. And they grasped their opportunity with both hands and just overpowered Bayern, who, again, are one of the very best sides in the competition. And it happened again tonight. They got that little bit of luck with the deflection for the Casemiro goal. It was a big deflection. But 3 minutes later, they score another one. Juventus are a little bit sleepy when Kadira should be recuperating the ball and Modric takes it off him. And then later in the move, like, 6 seconds later, when Bonucci, who's arguably the best defender in the competition, has Cristiano Ronaldo catch him on the blind side, get in front of him and score the goal that turned out to fold the game.
Ramos quoted after the game, "We had a date with history. I'm so proud of this team. We did it." They certainly did. And there are many reasons, Richard, why this trophy in particular makes history. The statistics that Real Madrid have achieved in recent years.
Well, it's stunning. I mean, the third title in 4 years, the first team in UEFA Champions League history in the UEFA Champions League era to defend their title. That's the first team since AC Milan in 1990 to win back-to-back competitions. But even if you look at club history, the fact that for all the titles they won in Spain, 33 times Spanish champions, now 12 times European champions, this is the first time since the late 50s they've won both in the same season. So that gives you, underscores just how important it is for this club and how rare it is even for them to do this particularly special double. And that's before we get talking about the individual history that was created by Ronaldo and others this evening. I mean, in talking of their decisiveness, thinking of that first goal, the way they spotted the opportunity to counter and the way that they picked the right pass at the right moment, the way Carvajal saw the chance to speed down the right-hand side, the way he picked a precision pass to Ronaldo. I mean, that was utterly ruthless, that goal in its execution. It was brilliant. And they took their chances when they came. And Juventus did rock at 2-1, and that was the worst goal, I suppose, they conceded. The 3-1 goal that took it away from them, and maybe it was the blow of going behind again in the second half, knowing the weight of history was on their shoulders too.
Wonderful celebrations after the game. Sergio Ramos, of course, the man to lift the trophy as Real Madrid captain for the second time in two seasons. We saw Marcelo put one of his children inside the European Cup. He did manage to fit. And we've also seen Alvaro Morata currently cutting the net out of the goal, which is something I think he learned from the Spanish national team, who started doing that under Gerard Piqué, especially when they would win major European titles. So two goals for Ronaldo tonight, top scorer in this competition for the fifth time in as many seasons. I mean, really think about that. It's ridiculous. And a former UEFA Champions League winner in Teddy Sheringham, who we spoke to earlier, was full of praise for Real Madrid's number seven.
That's why they get the big money. That's why they earn, you know, so much more than the average player, because they come up with the goods at the right times, and Ronaldo keeps doing it. He's a fantastic footballer. You know, he's a professional man that just keeps wanting to improve, and what an example to young kids as well, that, you know, he just he just keeps practicing, getting better, and he's no signs of slowing down.
Teddy Sheringham speaking to Andy and myself at a UEFA screening event in London that he was at to watch the final. Andy, let's talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. Can you tell us a little bit, because we're seeing him now celebrating with his family as well down on the pitch at the National Stadium of Wales. Just, I mean, in terms of touches, he's not touching the ball anywhere near as he did, as much as he did perhaps 3 or 4 years ago. But he's proving just as effective for his team.
It's all about what he does in the penalty box. And, you know, he's developed incredibly as a finisher, I think you can say, in the last decade. But he's just concentrated so much on that part of his game now, knowing that he needs to evolve, knowing that he can't be that explosive player who carries the team on his shoulders as he has done for Real Madrid and Portugal for such a long time. He can't be that player forever. And it's really worked. Now the team works for him. He needs to be served rather than him pulling the team forward. And you know what? It's working out incredibly well. And I think having someone who intuitively and intelligently understands that as coach in Zinedine Zidane really matters. The rest he's giving him, the fact that he didn't start his season domestically till September the 10th, that he didn't play an away game in La Liga for nearly 2 months between mid-March and mid-April. And then he came back in the last two La Liga away games to score 3 goals in those two games to clinch them, only as a second La Liga title in 8 years. And that in the second part of the Champions League, in the knockout bit, in the clutch moment, he was able to come up with the goals that took them through.
Well, have we seen a performance in the last 3 months from Cristiano Ronaldo that we will ever see again? 10 goals from the quarterfinals onwards in the UEFA Champions League. Now, I honestly don't think we'll see that in our lifetimes again. That is absolutely extraordinary. The quality of opposition and the number of goals, 10 goals in 5 games, basically, right at the pinnacle of the most difficult club competition to win in world football. That is utterly astonishing.
We'll get on to Juve next, but let's discuss Gareth Bale. He wins the trophy and came on in the second half in the city of his birth, but the role of Isco into the final months of the season, I mean, you talked about Ronaldo's impact quarterfinal onwards. You could argue Isco had an equally vital role into the last stages of the campaign.
Yeah, he really did. And I think he epitomises Zinedine Zidane's Real Madrid in a way. And I think if you go back earlier in the season, go back to autumn, and the moment where he really said, right, this is me making a play to be not just an important player for Real Madrid, but a pick for the first 11 all the time. Is if you go back to the Madrid derby, the last La Liga one in the Calderon back in November, where they won 3-0. And he played as a number 10 in that because of injuries. And he was so, so important, both as a linking player and as the first line of defence, really. You know, making them a bit narrower, a bit more aggressive, really competitive in midfield. And then he went on to reprise that in against the same opposition in the first leg of the semi-final. And if you can provide something that allows your team to out-muscle and outplay and outwork Atletico Madrid in the centre of midfield, wow, you've got something really special. And I appreciate Juventus are different from Atletico Madrid in a lot of ways. Those two, I think you can say Juventus and Atleti are the best defensive sides in this UEFA Champions League. And he is a huge part in managing to match that work rate and grind those teams down. And that's what they did because, you know, Juventus, as we said, really had their moments in this final. And the score might not show that when we look at it years down the line, but that's the truth of the matter. And Isco has been hugely important. His level of industry is unbelievable.
Many people getting in touch, hashtag Matchday Live, are picking out the midfield battle as where the match was won and lost. Richard, what do you think to Juventus and why couldn't they establish themselves in the second half in the way that they had in the first 45?
I think that's going to be a question that the video analysts at Juventus are going to be poring over for the days that follow, because those players and those coaches are going to demand answers. Because how did that team lose the grip on the final, the grip that certainly seemed to be theirs in the first half an hour of the match? You would say that each of the individuals in that Real Madrid midfield brought different qualities the strength of Casemiro, and of course he got forward to score the second goal, so they each had their moments in a forward sense as well. Modric made so many key interceptions, breaking up play and starting Real Madrid going. Kroos made more passes than anybody else. Isco received the ball in more advanced positions and certainly seemed, to my eye, in the second half to receive it more often, more centrally, and ask questions of Pjanic, who lost his cool, frankly, after that third goal went in and was taken off by his manager, and behind Khedira as well. And they did get a grip, that midfield, in the second half, a grip that they had struggled to get in the first period. And you think Paulo Dybala, we did think it was potentially going to be his final, his breakthrough moment on the biggest stage of all in club football. But in the second half, really, he was relatively anonymous. And that is a tribute to what the Madrid midfield achieved.
OK. Juventus beaten by Real Madrid 4-1 in the UEFA Champions League final. Real Madrid winners for the third time in four seasons. Truly remarkable. Coming up, I will reflect on some of the best moments from this season's UEFA Champions League.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til racismo.
Não ao racismo.
Nein til racismo.
Não ao racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
OK, let's now reflect on the 2016-17 UEFA Champions League season as a whole. I would argue that this has been one of the best ever, especially if we go back to the round of 16, which was truly remarkable this season. Richard, Andy and myself have all picked out our highlights from the season, and we'll tell you those in a minute. But first, let's start with a highlight that I think we'll all agree will go down as one of the competition's most dramatic moments.
Neymar shifts it back onto the left foot. Neymar clips it into the middle. The chance there. Oh, it's touched in! History! Sergio Roberto has got the goal! And Barcelona, against every odds, have snatched it in stoppage time! This is extraordinary! 6-1 for the first time ever! A 4-0 first leg deficit has been wiped out and overturned, and Barcelona have done it with three goals in the last 3 minutes.
Phil Blacker somehow keeping it together there with the commentary. Andy Bressel, you witnessed it as well. What can you say about that?
I listened to that piece of commentary by Phil Blacker every couple of days just to make sure it actually happened. It was an extraordinary tie. And the first leg, which is completely forgotten now, which was a wonderful performance.
I think the best
Paris
performance
Saint-Germain
by any team, actually, but maybe aside from tonight, of any team in this competition, was Paris Saint-Germain's win against Barcelona.
That's a convincing argument. But, you know, you associate Barcelona with magic. That was all about just hard work and belief. And, yeah, what an ending.
Absolutely ridiculous. Andy, what was your standout moment?
Well, my standout moment was a little bit different. It was more about stopping goals than scoring them.
And now Fekir collects inside the box. He shoots. Oh, what a save! What a save by Buffon. In goes the free kick. Oh, the back post. Buffon's there again. Buffon's there again to deny Tolisso. Point blank range. Alexandre Lacazette, Lyon's star man, is saved by Juventus' star man, their hero goalkeeper. Buffon to the rescue. It's an exhibition, this.
Now, Richard Comley, you were actually commentating on that. That fine moment, gents, Gigi Buffon, heroics.
That's right. It was on match day 3, actually, when Juventus visited Lyon. And improbably, Juve ended up winning 1-0. I'm still pretty sure they can't figure out how they managed that.
No, I mean, given what's happened in the final, a kind of extra piquancy, I think, to hearing that display from Gigi Buffon, thinking, well, Juan Cuadrado scored a sensational goal in that game for Juventus and ended up getting sent off in the final. So it kind of all went wrong in the end, didn't it? But that was an extraordinary night, and proving even at 39 that Buffon still deserves to be considered one of the very best goalkeepers in the world on current form.
He still has time to win a UEFA Champions League title. Richard, you were commentating on that game, but you've got a different highlight.
Yeah, my favourite moment, I mean, we may have to revise this given what's happened today, I suppose, but my favourite moment was this scorcher from the most unlikely of scorers.
Modric to James Rodriguez. Benzema takes over, back in towards James again, and then it's out from distance. Oh! And thundered in! Sensational goal from Casemiro! 3-1, Real Madrid!
Yeah, unlikely at the time, Richard, I think, fair to say, but he's popped up with a huge goal in the final.
Yeah, he got another goal in the... I mean, that goal against Napoli in the round of 16 was more purely struck than the goal that he hit in the final and went searingly into the goal without need for spinning deflection, let's say that first and foremost. But there were a couple of elements to that goal that were amazing. First, everybody's attention had been taken by the cross and the clearance, and you don't expect the clearance to be thumped straight back into the goal so quickly. So you're kind of gasping as something happens that takes you completely by surprise, and then you realise who it was who hit it, and you just hear the change in tone from the crowd there. It's just a different level completely. The gasp was up a notch, and everybody completely stunned and delighted in the Bernabeu that Casemiro had thundered in such an extraordinary goal. It's like, you know, that player has just changed in our estimation in front of our very eyes.
This is great. I'm starting to remember loads of different things from the UEFA Champions League this season. I did weigh up picking Manchester City, Monaco, either leg. Both absolutely brilliant. Mm. But my highlight was all about one of the competition's fairy tale stories.
Right-hand edge of the penalty area, Mahrez. Mark Albrighton, left-foot shot, scores for Leicester! Sevilla 0, Leicester lead 3-2 on aggregate.
There are many reasons that I liked that moment. Leicester should have been thumped in the first leg. Sevilla absolutely destroyed them, but only 1-2-1. Mm. But especially that it was Mark Albrighton, a player who, by Aston Villa in the Premier League, had completely been written off as being of that standard. And Leicester threw up many surprises throughout the group stage as well, Andy.
I interviewed him for UEFA Champions League Weekly between that game the last 16 and the quarter final with Atletico Madrid, and he was talking about when he left Aston Villa, and he said he was absolutely heartbroken. He sat around for 3 or 4 days just thinking the bottom had fallen out of his world. And if you'd have told him then that he would go to a team who are relegation favourites, end up winning the Premier League and in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League, I mean, he's an incredibly modest bloke, but yeah, he wouldn't have believed you.
Eventually knocked out by Atletico, but well done to Leicester City in their debut UEFA Champions League season. Top scorer as well. Fifth time in 5 seasons. Ronaldo with his brace today, of course, is the top scorer. Lionel Messi on 11, one behind Ronaldo's 12. Cavani, Lewandowski both 8, Aubameyang 7. Griezmann and Kylian Mbappe, one of the standout performances of the latter stages, Richard Conley, finishing with 6, all coming from Manchester City in the round of 16 onwards.
Yeah, who knows where we're going to see Mbappe next season, and I can't believe, thinking of Monaco, that none of us has mentioned that chip by Radamel Falcao.
What an extraordinary
goal that was.
Assists, by the way, the most assists go to Neymar, 8. Cristiano Ronaldo ends up with 6. Didn't manage to get one in Cardiff. Poor performance, I believe. Danny Carvajal finished with 5 as well from right back. So this season's UEFA Champions League is over, but it won't be long until the season's back. And these are the sides we know that will be definitely in the group stage for 2017-18. Some of the players are still on the pitch, and we're already talking about next season, Andy Brassel. I'm sure there's people at Real Madrid who are doing the same. So Real Madrid, Barca, Atletico guarantees from Spain, Bayern, RB Leipzig and Dortmund from Germany. Chelsea, Spurs, Manchester City and Manchester United in the English Premier League. Juve, Roma from Italy, plus Benfica, Porto, Monaco, Paris Saint-Germain, Spartak, Russian champions, Shakhtar Donetsk, Anderlecht, Feyenoord, Dutch champions, Besiktas and Basel. One of the teams mentioned there will be in the group stage of the UEFA Champions League because of their success in the UEFA Europa League final, Manchester United. Of course, playing Ajax in that showdown in Stockholm. Tim Lee reports.
It was an emotional night in Stockholm as United beat Ajax 2-0 just days after the deadly terror attack in Manchester. A minute's silence was held before kick-off and both teams wore black armbands. After the win, Jose Mourinho dedicated the victory to all of those affected.
Does this cup make the city of Manchester a little bit happier? Maybe. We just come to do our job. And the boys, they were fantastic because they block, they put a wall in front of their eyes and they stay isolated from everything. And we focused on a football match, which I think we played really, really well.
The match itself was another tactical masterclass from Mourinho. His side impressively stifled a young Ajax team that had thrilled en route to the final.
Pogba, shot's been deflected! And deflected to Manchester United's advantage. Cruel on Ajax, but it's Paul Pogba's goal.
After Pogba's opener, the decisive moment came shortly after half-time.
There is Smalling's header. It's a second goal for Manchester United. And it's put in by Henrik Mkhitaryan. Deft touch inside the penalty area. Manchester United now with more breathing space.
I think it was not the only nice goal this year. I've scored many nice goals, but this one was particularly very important for me because in the final, scoring such a goal, it's amazing and my feelings are really very high.
United's victory was their first in the competition, and with Mourinho at the helm, the English giants will now be targeting further European glory when the UEFA Champions League group stage gets back underway in September.
So England guaranteed four teams in the group stage next season. Perhaps Liverpool can make it through the playoff round and make it five. Hoping to win the UEFA Champions League in 2018, and the final will be in Kiev, the Olimpiski Stadium in Kiev, Ukraine, on the 26th of May. Okay, let's go back to tonight's final between Juventus and Real Madrid. Real Madrid with a 4-1 win. Zinedine Zidane, a head coach of a first team for less than 18 months, and he has as many European Cups as the likes of Jose Mourinho. I mean, numerous head coaches who've achieved this. Sir Alex Ferguson as well, who's at the stadium to greet Cristiano Ronaldo at full time.
You say less than 18 months. 13 and a half months ago, they were losing away at Wolfsburg.
It's absolutely
extraordinary. Yeah. It's absolutely extraordinary recovery. And I think it's not just about his tactics, and he has made the right changes, the right substitutions at the right time. He's had the personality to make some very tough calls, as he showed again tonight. You know, we talked about the players that missed out. We didn't even talk about Lucas Vazquez, who's absolutely vital for the squad. But the way he's managed that team, the way he's made everyone feel important, has really defined Real Madrid's season domestically and in a European sense, and it worked to perfection in the final.
And we've talked about Ronaldo being fresh on the big stage. Zidane still looks fresh. He doesn't look like the job has overwhelmed him at all. Maybe we've got Ronaldo making history in playing terms. Zidane can do that in management terms. On he goes.
Makes it look easy, doesn't he? Okay, man of the matches, gents. Andy.
We're fighting quick.
Andy, you go first.
Cristiano Ronaldo, but a big, big, big mention for Isco. They wouldn't have won the competition without him.
Ronaldo and a big hand for Modric too. I thought he had a super game too.
Okay, before we go, let's hear from two members of Real Madrid's victorious team, Gareth Bale, but first, Toni Kroos.
I didn't expect that it was possible to defend this title because it's so difficult to win it once, but to do it twice in a row is fantastic, unbelievable.
What an incredible scene here. The stadiums are incredible. The city have done an immaculate job in hosting such a great event, and obviously we thank everyone for that, but on a personal note, yeah, to win at home is a dream come true, and it's been a hard season. I've worked hard. At one point it looked like I wasn't going to make it to the final, but I've worked tirelessly at home, and this is the rewards you get for all the hard work you put in.
Okay, gents, that's all we have time for. Thank you very much for your company on the show. What a fitting end it was to another superb season, one of the best, I believe, in the UEFA Champions League. Real Madrid rewrote the history books once again by sealing that 12th European crown and becoming the first team in the UEFA Champions League era of this competition to successfully defend their title. It is a truly remarkable achievement by Zinedine Zidane's side as they put four past Juventus, who, remember, had previously conceded just three times in the whole of this season's competition. And once again, that man, Cristiano Ronaldo, took centre stage and finishes as top scorer. Thanks to all of our commentators, experts, producers, and guests throughout the season, and most importantly, to you for listening as well and tweeting in throughout the course of the campaign. Make sure you join us again next season. But for now, from Andy Brassel, Richard Connolly, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye. And we'll leave you with some of the key moments from a thrilling 2017 UEFA Champions League final in Cardiff.
Ronaldo scores for Real Madrid! Their first chance of the final!
Ramos. Casemiro thumped it in! And Real Madrid have the lead again! It may have taken a slight deflection. Buffon dived full length to his right, but could not keep it out. Ronaldo's there! 3-1 to Real Madrid! He's writing yet more history for Real Madrid. Marcelo with a lovely turn on the byline. Maybe he can pull one back. It's 4! And Real Madrid have clinched the 12th title. Ramos emerges with the trophy. He waits. He lifts it high. For the first time in UEFA Champions League history, the trophy retained. And retained by Real Madrid.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.